At the beginning of this liturgical year, we have been journeying through a season in which there is a common theme of seeking and finding Jesus, of seeking and finding Jesus. First at the Nativity, at the angelic proclamation of Jesus' birth, the shepherds seek Jesus. They seek this child whom the angels declared that they would find in Bethlehem, lying in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. And in seeking, the shepherds find our Lord. And then just Friday evening, as we celebrated the Epiphany of our Lord, we once again are presented with a seeking and finding. This time it was the Magi of the East who had traveled a long distance, perhaps as far away as Persia or perhaps modern-day Iran or Iraq. We don't know exactly where. But these Magi, or what is sometimes referred to also as wise men, traveled a great distance, having discerned and seen this star that led them to Jerusalem. And then, of course, stopping and asking Herod, and Herod consulting with his religious rulers, were able to determine that this king in Israel would be born in Bethlehem. And so the Magi, spurred on by the star and by what these religious leaders had presented as prophecy, continued to seek until the star came over the place, the house, where the Holy Family was residing. And there they presented gifts of gold, myrrh, and frankincense. They found. In seeking, they found the Lord. And today, is on this first Sunday after the Epiphany, we once again are presented with this theme of seeking and finding Jesus. Seeking and finding Jesus. This time, it is really the only time in all of Scripture that we are presented with anything about the life of Jesus as a child outside of his infancy. And we probably wonder why that is. You know, it'd be kind of neat to know a little bit more about the life of Jesus. And there are some legends out there about Jesus, but none of them are canonical or accepted by the church. But in St. Luke presented this as an important aspect of the ministry of Jesus and who he was. It says in St. Luke in chapter 2 tells us that the Holy Family went up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. Jesus was 12 years old. It would have been just before his bar mitzvah. And they go up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And as was customary, they would have gone in a great caravan. It was probably about the whole town of Bethlehem, where they were residing. At that point in Nazareth. And the people from this little town, this Galilean town of Nazareth, would have gone together in a great band of company with family members and with other neighbors and so forth. And they celebrate the Passover. And then in returning to Nazareth, we know the story. We heard the story. They go and they're already well into their journey back when they realize that Jesus isn't with them. Mom and Dad had supposed that they were with other family members, and perhaps we as parents have experienced that, where we thought our kids were somewhere else and we found only to determine that they weren't. And so we can only imagine the panic that set in with Mom and Dad, with St. Joseph and St. Mary, the Theotokos, as they returned to Jerusalem and began this frantic search, seeking their son, this lost child, Jesus. And after 3 days, it says, after 3 days, which the church fathers tell us prefigures the 3 days that Jesus would be in the tomb, after 3 days, they finally find him in the temple. There he's listening to the teachers, to the doctors, and he's asking them questions. And they were amazed. it says, St. Luke tells us at his answers and his questions and responses. But then there's this moment where mom is basically saying, "Son, why did you put us through this? We thought you were gone. 3 days, why did you put us through this?" And Jesus simply responded to her, "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" You see, St. Luke is presenting a reality to us that while our Lord at this epiphany has been revealed as God in the flesh, fully God and fully man, Jesus certainly has a human ancestry. However, Jesus in his divinity, who is eternally begotten of the Father, submits first and foremost to the divine Father. Not that he did not submit to his parents. But it's significant, I believe, in Luke in recording that he is there in the temple. And seeking Jesus, they find him in the temple. There is an aspect to this that I think speaks to our own lives. Most of us came to Orthodoxy because, first and foremost, we loved the Lord Jesus. But there was perhaps something that left us a little bit in want. Perhaps in our former traditions, there perhaps something that was lacking, something that in our spirit we thought was that in seeking Jesus was not completely manifest, was not completely fulfilled in that tradition. And so I think all of us have told our stories of seeking our Lord. Because really in seeking Jesus, we were seeking the church of Christ and his apostles. We have found the Lord in the temple. And seeking we find. That is, we have found him in the church, the bride of Christ. In the fullness of worship, in the liturgy, in the teaching, in the proclamations, in the holy mysteries of the church, we have found Jesus. But our life as Christians, whether it's Orthodox Christians or of some other Christian denomination, must be one of continually seeking and finding. Jesus, in his teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, tells us in chapter 7, verse 7 of St. Matthew, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you." And then in verse 14, he says, "Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." He says, there are few who find it. Jesus is giving us the promise, ask, seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. When we came to the faith, when we came to Holy Orthodoxy, I'm sure that all of us experienced that certain wonder and excitement about it. And perhaps our spirit resonated with what David says in Psalm 119, verse 162. "I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure." As one who finds great treasure. I rejoice in your word, not just the printed, the canonical word, the verbal word of God. Certainly we should find great joy in engaging and encountering the scriptures. But the word became flesh. That's what we're celebrating. The word became flesh and has dwelt among us. And to discover our Lord in the temple, to discover him in the fullness of the faith, in the worship that Christ and his apostles, that God himself has ordained. there is great joy. And yet, unfortunately, there are few who find it. There are few who find it. And I believe that it's because, in many cases, even for those who have come into the Orthodox faith, that there is a sense of diminishing the wonder, the awe, the mystery, the great depth of the Orthodox, great depths of the church. We are people in our fallenness who are easily bored, and particularly in our American culture. We're easily bored. And I submit to you, as an example, for those of you who have children, we're only 2 weeks past Christmas. How many of those toys are the kids still playing with? Or for those of you who got neat gadgets and gizmos, I got a virtual reality goggle set. But not just 2 weeks later, they're set aside. We're bored. They're no longer fresh and new. And oftentimes we approach our faith in the same way. We think, I'm Orthodox. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. But the fact of the matter is, when we have this kind of an attitude, we have reduced the church to simply another human institution. How could we ever stop seeking him who is unfathomable? How can we stop seeking our Lord in our worship? Forever and ever, the saints in heaven will continue to bow down and worship. It will be new every day. And yet, we let the luster, the glow, fall away because we allow the things of life to distract us. We allow our own selfishness and our own sense of need, personal need, to snuff out that light, that glory that Christ has called us to, that we discover. Yes, there is a sense in which God is the hound of heaven. We've heard that said before, that God seeks us. Luke chapter 15 is an example of that. The shepherd leaving the 99 to find the one lost sheep. The woman who sweeps her house clean to find the one lost coin. The father who's constantly waiting for the return of his lost son, the prodigal, from that foreign land. God is a God who pursues. God is the hound of heaven. But there is a sense in which we must reciprocate, in which we must continually seek in order to find the Lord Jesus. As a result of our inability to, or our indifference in seeking, we very often grow apathetic. And that's when the newness wears off to our faith. That's when we can become bored. Same old building. Same tired old Father James, same voice, same old liturgy. And what can happen? We become not only indifferent and apathetic, but we can even become negative and critical. Even the priests can start complaining about the bishops and the people about the priest, who probably is going to preach too long, who's probably going to say the same things over again. And before long, we have stopped our search, our seeking, and our finding Jesus fresh and anew. But I've got to confess that as you may find me old and worn out, there are times when I find you all wearisome, troublesome, and I need to check myself and my attitudes. And one of the best ways for doing that is through ministry. Yesterday I started catechism class with our newest catechumen, Kurt Jensen. And I got to tell you that it is refreshing. It is renewing to my own faith to be able to sit before this young man and spend a couple of hours and to see the wonder and the acquisitiveness and the excitement and the fire in this young man's eyes and soul. You see, that kind of a spirit reinvigorates my own weariness, my own troubledness, as I find that to be not only invigorating, but it's catching. And if I could only require each of you to sit in on a catechism class every time we do it, there is a renewing to this. But you don't have to be in catechism. It is an opportunity each day, just as Scripture tells us, the mercies of the Lord are new each morning. So there is an opportunity, an intentionality on our part to renew our faith. We heard in the epistle lesson this morning from Romans chapter 12, St. Paul exhorting the church. He says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, remember the mercies which are new each morning, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. That is, don't be conformed to the values, to all the things that trouble this world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In the Greek, it's the nous. The nous. It's not just the mind in terms of your cognitive abilities, but it's the nous in terms of your soul, your very being joined to your heart and will, being renewed in your mind, as God's mercies are new each morning. So we seek and to find our Lord Jesus, to renew our faith, to have things exciting, to see that the church is not only divine in her mysteries and her liturgy, but remember, St. Paul said here, presenting our bodies, our human bodies as living sacrifices. You see, the church, the temple, where we find Jesus, is not only the divine, but it is also the human. We very often overlook and become discouraged with our faith or let our faith become all worn out when we're just punching the card, going through the motions, and yes, it does become nothing more than a dead ritual. But we renew our faith as we begin seeking and finding Jesus in the temple, the collective temple of God, our bodies, which are temples of the Holy Spirit, we begin to encounter Jesus in one another. And all of our idiosyncrasies, and all of our warts and blemishes, and all of our frustrations and aggravations, and even maybe anger with the other. But I exhort you all, as I challenge myself in beginning this new year, that we seek with all our heart. We seek our Lord Jesus. And in seeking, that we might find him not only in the liturgy, not only within the context of liturgical worship, but in the context of each of you as we enter into one another's lives. Yes, even as we cry together in the tragedies and the sufferings that we face, as we encourage one another, as we help lift one another's burdens, as we pray for each other, encourage each other as this young man, this catechumen Kurt, as we share in the joy and the wonder that he has discovered, that our faith may be made new once again each day as we endeavor and set out in seeking and finding the Lord Jesus. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.